Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Benson in Pietermaritzburg at Grace Generation Church, and we greet you all both in Pietermaritzburg and across the globe. This morning, I'm going to share with you the Word of God. I've entitled God's Power on Display for the Salvation of His People. So if you have your Bible, why don't you turn with me to Exodus chapter 6. From verse 28, and I'll read through to chapter 7, verse 13. And so, Exodus chapter 6, verse 28. On the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said to the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, how will Pharaoh listen to me? And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out of the people of Israel among them. Moses and Aaron did so and did just as the Lord had commanded them. And now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers and the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret act. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. And Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord has said. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will break it up for us this morning, that we will eat it and be nourished by you, that, Lord, we will be able to face all the circumstances that lay before us, knowing you, our God, is with us. And if you are for us, no one can be against us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And so, this morning, we continue with our series in the book of Exodus, and Musala, about 2 weeks ago, introduced us to the book, and he pointed out three main themes of this book. He said, there's a theme of salvation for God's people that is covered by this book. There's also the theme of law that God uses to constitute a good relationship with his people. And the third theme that comes out is the tabernacle, just to indicate the presence of God amongst his people. And this morning, I will go along the theme of salvation. And as I said before, the topic I'm covering this morning is God's power on display for the salvation of his people. And in this, I want to bring out 3 points. The first point is that revelation of God's power. The second point will be display of God's power through his servants. And the third point that I want to look at will be God's power to overcome the powers that be. And so, as we saw through Musale's preaching last week, Moses was in Midian and God called him, revealed himself to him, and said, go and to Pharaoh in Egypt and speak to the your brother Aaron and the leadership, and indeed get my people out of Egypt. So Moses went and indeed met with Pharaoh. He convinced his brother Aaron and the leadership, and they went. But unfortunately, these things didn't go the way they thought it would be. One would say it backfired, but God was at work. So it worsened the situation of the Israelites because they were enslaved and were making bricks. They were provided with straw for making bricks. And now the king of Egypt says, no more straws for you, but you must provide the same amount of bricks. This caused problems. The Egyptians were complaining, and Moses had to go back to God. And that's a key thing. You know, brothers and sisters, there are times when people make us understand, and it's true, that when we come to God, things change, but it's not always the case. Or things will change in our lives, but it takes time. God has his own plan in each and every one of us. But in a system of slavery, where the people of Israel have been slaves for 400 years and serving taskmasters, it was not going to be easy for Egypt to say, okay, if you want to go, go. And so it was difficult. But I want to also draw our attention to one thing. We are not clear what exactly Moses told Aaron and the leadership of Israel. One thing we know in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 28 is that, and Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him back to speak, and the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped God. And so they were excited about this, and they went thinking it's going to happen just like that. But unfortunately, when they went, things didn't go that way. One thing is, sometimes we forget about what God has said. And if we go back into the scripture, God had told Moses that, I know that the heart of Pharaoh will be hardened. And so God had told him, and it's not going to be easy for you. When we read in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses met God, God said in verse 19, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And then in chapter 4, verse 20, when Moses was coming out of Midian with his wife and all that, the Bible says in verse 20 of chapter 4, so Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hands, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let you go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, that says the Lord of Israel, Israel, my firstborn son, and I say to you, let my people go that they may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your first son. So it was clear. And I'm not sure if Moses was able to tell the people of Israel about all this that God is going to do. Something I want to mention here is that there are times when we hear the word of God, we choose some of it, the good part, the nice parts, the victory part. And we forget that sometimes it doesn't come on a silver platter, and things do happen along the way. And so, good thing is Moses goes back to God. And that is what is leading us to our scripture and the points that we are talking about. Even in our lives today, we have God has not promised us any easy way. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, as we saw some time ago, he says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, and strengthen and establish you." And so God will come through and help us. I don't know your situation that you have today. Probably in the advent of coronavirus, your situation has worsened. But I want you to know that God is with you. He will help us through. And so I would now want to attend to the first point that I have, the revelation of God's power. In chapter 6, verse 28, there is a small, 28 and 29, there's a small phrase there that I want us to look at. See, Moses goes back after the burdens of the Israelites have been increased. And the Bible says in verse 28, "On that day, when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, 'I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, all that I say to you.'" So now the Lord is repeating the very words that he has been saying before. So that probably now Moses will understand. He says, "I am the Lord." And that is it. I am Yahweh. He has told him before, "I am. I am is sending you." And sometimes we forget who our God is and what God has told us. He says, "I am the Lord. I'm the master, the creator of the whole universe. Everything belongs to me. And when I say, it comes." That is the Lord. And he's reminding Moses once again that, "Don't forget, when I met you, that's exactly what I told you." In fact, in Exodus chapter 3:15, God said to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" And so, through all generation, our God is the Lord. He is the master. The whole world is full of his glory. When he says, it happens. There's nothing that takes him by surprise. He controls the world that he has made. Even as we go through corona in the whole world, God knows what is going on. God knows what he is doing. He is in charge. And so he's now reminding Moses that, "Don't forget, the world belongs to me. And I am in charge." Most of the time, when we become Christians, when we begin to go to church and we get to know the Lord, we become familiar with God and we forget about who he is. He is the Lord. And even today, the Bible says that God has given us his only son as Lord. And when things don't go the way it is or we expect, we need to go back to the Lord, just like Moses did. And as we begin to go back to God every now and then, he begins to let us know who he is and his power. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, that God has exalted Jesus to the highest place and has given him a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, both here on earth, in heaven, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so, Jesus is Lord, the King that is above every other thing in this world. And the question is, have you allowed him to be the Lord of your life? Do you know this Jesus who died on the cross for you? And that's why God exalted him. Because God sent his own son to deal with our sins. And this morning, I want to challenge you. Maybe you are making things familiar in your lives. The name of God, familiar in your life. Or maybe sometimes you scoff over what God has done through Jesus Christ. But I want to challenge you that there's one up there who holds everything together. The creator of the whole universe. And he has given us Jesus. He is here with us. If you believe in him and ask him to be the Lord of your life, he will guide you and lead you. And so God assures Moses that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am in charge. Do not be afraid, because I have something for you. And that brings us to our second point that says God displays his power through his servants. When we go back to the scripture we're reading in Exodus chapter 11, verse 7, verse 1 says, "And the Lord says to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron will tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land." So now God is saying, yes, I am the Lord. I have power, but I have a package for you. I am making you like God. You are my representative. I've given you power and authority to go and stand before Pharaoh. And as we will know, or we have known through this series, when there was a time when Moses, who grew up in the house of Pharaoh years ago, and from the scripture about 80 years ago, he grew up knowing the powers of Egypt, knowing the wisdom of Egypt and all that. And now he felt that, no, I need to save my people. But at that time, he wanted to do it in his own power. And so he killed an Egyptian. And it became clear to everyone. And what happened? He had to run. He took the law in his hands. He thought he could save by his own. And now God is telling him, do not be afraid. In fact, God had to come in when we read Exodus chapter 4, verse 19. The Bible says, "And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all men who were seeking your life are dead." God had to assure him even before this time and say, don't worry, don't be afraid. In fact, it could be one of the reasons why when God was calling Moses, he was dilly-dallying. He would say, no, I can't talk, I can't do this, I can't do that. Sometimes, people of God, we are afraid to face what is behind us, to face the things we've done in our lives. But we need to do it, because if we come to Christ, he has the power to help us. And so God is telling Moses, I've given you and Aaron power. You are not going to do it on your own. You are a team now. I've made Aaron a prophet to you. Just say what I've told you. Just analyze it, say it, and he is eloquent enough to present it before the king of Egypt. I just want to remind us, people of God, that when you come to Christ, when you come to God, he is able to give you power. He is able when he calls you, you have the power. And so now, Moses is able to go before Pharaoh. Moses, who is a shepherd, and in fact, in the Genesis, Joseph made us aware in chapter 46 that the Egyptians despised people who were shepherds. In verse 33 of chapter 46, Genesis, when Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" you shall say, "Your servant have been keepers of livestock from their youth, even until now. Both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." And so probably, looking at the trade that Moses has been involved in as a serpent, as a shepherd. He was afraid even to go in case they ask him, what do you do? And he says, I'm a shepherd. But God is saying, I've given you authority. People, whatever the Lord has imbued in us from our past, no matter who we are, God is able to change it around and give us authority. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, God, if you come to Jesus, he's able to give you authority and power. Now, the second thing I want to talk about when we are looking at God giving authority to his people, powers to his people, is that when God told them, you have staff that you use every day. When you go, Aaron, just throw your staff and it will turn into a snake. God had done this before with Moses. And in fact, if you read the scripture, when Moses was coming back from Midian, when we said he took his wife and sons and ride on the donkey, then he went back to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the staff of God in his hand. Moses' staff that he was using after encountering God, it became a staff of God. I just want to bring a point here that whatever God has given us in our hands, it could be your trade, it could be gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given you, when God touches you, it becomes a staff in your hand. God uses everything that we have. In the Bible, when Jesus came and he called his disciples, the people of that time were surprised to see the boldness of Peter and John, and especially when they perceived that they were uneducated and common men, they were astonished. But they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus endued us with power through the Holy Spirit. And so, I want us to know that God is able to give us authority in power when we come to him. I want to ask you today, what do you have in your hands? Even in the midst of Corona, what do you have in your hands? God is going to use it to serve his people. God is going to give you authority through it so that you can move forward and do the work of God. But we should not be afraid, because as we go to do the work of God, as we do what God has called us to do, we will face challenges. Because the Bible says in the verse 11 of chapter 7, then Pharaoh summoned all the wise men and sorcerers and the magicians of Egypt. And they came and did the same turning of sticks into snake through their secret arts. Each one of them cast their staff and it turned into a snake. And verse 12 says, but Aaron's staff swallowed their staffs. Aaron, the staff that Aaron had that turned into a snake was able to swallow every kind of snake that was turned from their sticks or their staff. I want you to know that God is able to meet every problem that come our way. Our God is able to do it, and he does it in his own way. And I also want to let you know that the enemy tries to copy the things that God is doing. And especially in our days today, we need to be very careful the things that we accept, the things that we look into, because the enemy is at work to deceive us. In fact, when God took the people of Israel as they were going, and we will see later, he came to a point and he gave them the laws. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, there shall be no one found among you who burns his son or his daughters as an offering, or anyone who practices divination and tells fortunes and interprets omen, a sorcerer, a charmer, a medium, a wizard, or a necromancer. Whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these, I And because of these abominations, the Lord is driving the people away from you. And so there's a lot of practices. There are things that go on. You may think it's spiritual, it's from God, but it's from the enemy. And so let's not be moved all the time. Yes, God is at work. He does his miracles. The power of the Holy Spirit is at work. I've personally seen it in my life. About 2 years ago, I had a problem with my eye and I needed to do an operation. I told the doctor, let's go and pray about it. I'll come back to you. And when I came back, the doctor was surprised. The eye was fixed. God's power is still at work to help us. But the question is, we need to be very, very careful so that we do not allow the enemy to deceive us. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24, false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. I have told you this beforehand. And so we need to be very careful, especially in our days. The enemy is at work. The devil is using all kinds of things, WhatsApps that come, and it's you so amazing. But we need to be very careful that the devil does not get us. The Bible says that we have overcome him through the testimony. God is able to help us overcome, not in our own power. 1 John chapter 4 verse 2 says, by this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus has come from God is not a spirit of God. And he says in verse 4, little children, you are from God. You have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than the world. So as I conclude, I just want you to know that God has power in this world we are living in. He created everything. And if you give your life to Jesus and you go closer to him all the time through prayer and fellowship and draw near, he's able to equip you with power so that you can go forward and bring his message onto other people. And I want you to know, whatever confronts you, our God is able to deliver you. So let's trust God. Maybe you are here, you don't know Jesus. This morning, I want you to know, no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what is going on, God is at work. He is the Lord of the world. And if you can call on him, if you can come to him, he will save you. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father God, for your word. We pray that, Lord, it will accomplish the purposes for which it was given and save your people in Jesus' name, even in the time of Corona. We need you to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.